All right, we're rolling, guys.
Your show will go live in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Too far, Akbar. Everybody, welcome to another edition of the Cross and the Crescent Discussion Group. There is nothing like losing connectivity 1 minute and 19 seconds before the show begins, and then having to re-log back in to Blog Talk Radio, open the studio, and I did not open the chat, so I'm going to have to go over and do that at some point in time. So I am sorry once again for the technical difficulties that seem to be incessant here, but welcome to the show, everybody. We are again live streaming. We're not live streaming on Twitter. I figured out you can't live stream on Twitter. Am I right on that? Because I went and I put this all this stuff on Twitter. They have a link to the YouTube channel. Ooh, okay. I can do that any other time. So we're live streaming both again over on the Facebook on the Cross and the Crescent Discussion Group and the Dr. Eric Smith Facebook page, and here on YouTube at the Cross and Discussion. Cross and the Crescent Discussion Group. And of course, we're live streaming on Blog Talk Radio and the Global Patriot Radio Network. And I see people, it's XYZ. Thank you for posting those things in chat. Remember to subscribe, like, share, and ring a ding a ding that ding dong bell on the YouTube channel to get notifications when we are going live. I wanted to start the show. Tonight we're going to talk about, I don't even remember what the Gospel of Barnabas and Other Fake Evidence for Islam. That's the title of the show. And I have a whole laundry list of things. I have pages of notes that I have developed that we are never going to get to hardly any of it. But I just so you know, that I thought, well, let's just go ahead and, you know, because on Sunday, here again, this is where we get ourselves into trouble with our fellow believers in Christ. I had a couple posts on there, and I'm going to blame Chris Claus for this because this sounds like some of the crew that comes over from his show or his live stream. One of these guys, let's see here.
My bad.
It's okay, Chris, because you can bring all your listeners over here, and I'll have no complaints at all. But this guy. Wait, Catholics weren't sorted out and rounded up to talk bad about when you had that little problem a while back, Mr. Eric. I'm not exactly sure what little problem that was. Is that where...
That's that Texas Imam, I think.
Okay, all right. When you were subject to these attacks, I don't recall you were asking for Catholics not to support you. Here we are some months later, and you forgot how it was when you were on the receiving end of low life. Thanks for showing how you give back, Eric, and expect expert panel, of which the loudest are no experts at all. And I'm reading this, and you know, any type of negative feedback, I get it all the time. I mean, it's not a big deal. But when you see I think this is a fellow believer. He appears to be a Catholic, and you know, it makes me feel bad that somebody that was Catholic that listened to that show took some type of offense from me, because that is absolutely was not my intent of the show, and I'm not exactly sure what part of the show that this reply here or this post here stemmed from. But the bottom line is, and my position is, and I don't know if it is everybody in the panel, because I can't speak for everybody in the panel, is that I'm not a Catholic, but I believe Catholics are just as much as Christians as any other Protestant out there, whether you're Presbyterian, Methodist, Lutheran, Baptist, mm-hmm. even you Pentecostal people. They're just as much mm-hmm. Christians as you're. They're just as saved as you are. They're just as much in love with Christ as we are. So I don't know where this comes from. And if you're listening, I don't want to mention the person's name because I don't want to, you know, create any extra strife or anything.
Hey, can I address them just in case they are from my channel? Because I don't put up with that.
Yeah,
not on my channel. On my channel, I've specifically said, and all the moderators on my channel can tell you, that Catholics, Protestants, all Trinitarians are united. In my channel, we don't talk about one sect from another. I identify myself as a Trinitarian Christian, and I accept that the early church fathers and the apostolic fathers are historically reliable. I am not a Catholic. I'm not an Orthodox. I have many Catholics on my show. I'm actually going to have Sam Isen on my channel probably tomorrow night. And we're going to be discussing things within the early church fathers and the apostolic fathers. And I do this when I bring Catholics on, when I speak about these things, because that's what they're all into, right? And that's what they study mostly, and I don't. So I go to people that study it. So if this person is from my channel, this division between the Protestant and the Catholics is not acceptable from anybody that is subscribed to my channel. Thank you.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, and I appreciate that. I don't know if I was just playing when I said I'm blaming you for this, because I've never had a fellow Christian, and I believe he's a Christian. I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but I just felt kind of bad that somebody would take offense from something maybe that I had said about Catholics, or maybe it had something to do with what was said in the chat. I'm not sure. And then I got another one. This one.
But they didn't pinpoint and say what it was.
It was not specific.
You should send me the name in Skype. I'll tell you if I know the name or not.
Okay, let me find you Skype over here. You Skype man, you okay?
But other than that, so we're going to be going through the actual Injil. Right, Eric? That's what the topic of today's show is?
No, we're not going through the Injil. Well, we're going through the Gospel of Barnabas.
Well, that's what Muslims believe the actual Injil is, don't they? That's what they quote.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, well, here we got family, Christian family, man. So maybe it was just a troll. And it might very well be. I don't know. And then this other one says,
yeah, definitely a troll.
Okay. Let's see here. This one says, friend, Trinity and Unitarianism is both of Satan. And then their title, their name is God's Love Became Flesh.
Like that person sounds like he's an atheist. Because he said the Trinitarian and Unitarian God. So God isn't one person and one being then to that person?
If we believe in a
sounds
murder,
like that then... lady, her name is like Servant of something.
Okay, hold on. Okay, this gives it away. It says, if we believe in a murderer who sent a created being to the cross. Okay, so this is, all right, so this
that's
is probably
that girl.
This is probably a Muslim. All right.
That girl. She's got two accounts, loving God or something like that. Yeah,
God's love became flesh. Now, if you believe God's love became flesh, then you would.
That's her. You know her. Yeah, I know her.
Yeah, I would assume you're a Christian. Am I right on that or no? Are they a Christian?
With her?
Yeah.
No. No, because they claim that Jesus is the Holy Spirit. And I tried to tell her, yeah, that's talking about Moses when it says, and Christ was that spirit.
Uh-huh.
you know, and she's not going to hear me. So she picks on Flow Life. She picks, she normally attacks the Unitarians, like Flow Life, you know. So, yeah, she'll get Taylor every now and again.
Okay.
You know, so, yeah. But, yeah, she thinks we're damned to hell because we see the triune God.
Naughty us. How dare us do that? Mm-hmm. When it's pretty clear in the scripture. Okay, so let's start off this show with taking a look at the Gospel of Barnabas. Now, the Gospel of Barnabas, as many of you know, is this. I'm not going to have to be able to read this verbatim, but what is this? Here with you. Who's this? Is this the guy that we had on Sunday? Is that the same?
Show it to us. Sounds like
Is that the Islamic defender?
Right, Islamic defender.
Before he comes up here, ask him if he's the one that made that comment.
Yeah, Islamic defender. Yeah. Were you the one that made the comment about Toon deserving to be attacked? Is that you? You can go ahead and send that in Skype to let me know if that was you.
Yeah, you can either send it in Skype or send it into the YouTube chat there. We just want to know if you're the one that actually typed into the chat that day that Hatun deserved the attack. I just want to confirm that it was you, that's all.
Okay, while he's doing that, let's flip back to the Gospel of Barnabas. Now, the Gospel of Barnabas is an often cited document by Muslims, cited by Muslims, let's put it that way, proving that Muhammad was a prophet and that Jesus was never crucified. The document is believed to be, is demonstrated to be a 13th, 14th century forgery, probably written by some. Yes, I was the one who said she deserved what happened to her due to her action slap in reaction. Okay. All right. That's all we need to know.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. You're not coming on the show. I'm not going to have somebody on the show that supports against Little Hatun.
Yeah.
And, you know, I emailed Hatun those screenshots of that, and she replied back. She's like, "You should see what I really get sometime, Gaffer." That's nothing.
I just want to point out that before we go on, that Yahya, he portrays himself as such a moderate Muslim. But in the actual message in YouTube, he didn't define what happened or what happened to Hatun and why she deserved it. So he's now saying it's the slap, but could it have been referring to her being stabbed, trying to be killed? She deserved the attack.
That's what I think it is. That's what I think it is.
Me too. And the disgusting thing is these Muslims are okay with this type of behavior because of some person 1,400 years ago that had flea bites all over his behind. Because he didn't do nothing except for sleep with a 9-year-old and run from house to house, sleeping with different women, killing people and stealing their women, making them prostitutes, selling slaves. Like, this is the guy that these guys are looking up to. And people like, you're a disgusting individual for saying that Hatun deserved anything like that.
Not to mention he used to guzzle camel piss all the time.
What?
Yeah.
He used to guzzle camel pee all the time.
Okay, so now hold on. Okay, Ed, you're getting into one of our sponsors here. Let's not go there.
Do you have any?
No, I don't have any. I tell you, I've had a long day, so I was drinking coffee prior to the beginning of the show. I kind of laid off the sponsor.
So you're
song.
A drink, huh?
Okay, so let's how do we get on that? Okay, let's get back to this.
Ed started it.
It's okay. Whoever started it, it's okay. Said that Hatun deserved this because, well, let me see here. What does Nim say? Atun deserved this because of freedom of speech. He is not a nice person, like Connie said on Sunday. Okay. Yeah, I think anybody that would
apparently
say...
he's changed, so I stand corrected. If he's changed, then, you know, I'll never say that again.
Well, anybody that
what he said about Hatun yesterday.
That's the thing. That's the thing. Anybody that would make light of, I mean, for example, if you were to say that, well, maybe Hatun should have turned the other cheek when she got slapped like that, you're a scumbag. I mean, when you would make light of that, that to me is beyond. Or, you know, when we're talking about, the stabbing incident. Now, come on. You know, I understand. I can understand the anger. I really can. But if you don't like what somebody said, and this is what that we're, I just, I'm, I cannot under, well, I can't understand it, but I can't believe that people would try to legitimize themselves and say, well, what she did, she deserved because she insulted our prophet. There's something that you can do when that happens. I can tell you what you can do. You know, most people have these two things that are right below them. They're called feet. Turn them the ass around and walk the other way. If you don't like what somebody's saying, if you can't take what somebody is saying, walk away. If you disagree with somebody is saying and you want to engage them in a conversation to, let's say, delegitimize them or to humiliate them because they have, let's say, they have racist views or something like that, stay and engage, but do it on topic. Do not resort to violence, because when you resort to violence, things like, oh, I don't know, the Crusades happen. When you start encroaching into other people's cultures and trying to force your culture onto somebody else's, that's exactly what happens. And there's going to, I hate to say this, because there was a guy that we used to have on the Global Patriot Radio Network. I'm trying to remember his name. He had a PhD in history, Dr. Carl something. And I had a really long conversation with him one day because we were talking about the Islamic immigration into France. And I asked him, I said, you know, when we look at the history of France and the French Revolution and their relationship to the United States and their desire to be secularized and to throw off all religion, and now you have this huge influx, this huge migrant population coming into the country, trying to impose religion, a different religion from which they fled from, upon them. How's that going to turn out? When you start getting, because you can see there's this flow chart that shows you when you have a percentage, it's 2-3% of the population. Muslims are normally peaceful. They try to get along. They engage on topic. They do dawah. They do outreach. But when you start getting upwards of 15-25%, that's when you start seeing them insisting upon you shutting your kafir hole and not daring to speak about their prophet. And this is what we're seeing in England, and this is what we're seeing in France. And when the time comes where they're going to push too hard, I mean, what was it today, or was it yesterday? Let me, right here. Let me bring this up here. How apropos. Can you guys still hear me, or am I just talking?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Hear you.
I'm ranting, and I apologize for it, but I'm pissed off.
No, rant.
You said you didn't look at this. Liverpool, jihad suicide bomber identified, blowing up a bomb in Liverpool. Right here. Or not here. I'm not in England.
What date was that, Eric?
That was yesterday.
Wow.
Right on that. What's today? The 16th? This is November 15th. Liverpool.
You know, if you read Revelation 20, verse 4, you'll see that it spells out Islam, Muslims. Because there's a very serious passage, part of that passage in there. It talks about those that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus.
Right, under the altar.
So you, Yeah. So you know
the word of God.
Islam is definitely involved. And when you actually look at where God is, where Jesus is taking his wrath, it's in the Middle East. Every bit of it is in the Middle East. So Muslims, especially you, Yahya, buddy, I'd be worried about that if I were you, because your prophet confirmed that Injil, my friend, like an idiot that he was.
Okay, well, that's the type of talk right there, Ed, that angers them. They can't handle it. Don't, how dare you call our prophet an
Good.
idiot?
Good. There's more where that came from.
Right. Well, I believe there's a way to engage without being purposely offensive. But when you try to defend somebody, and we've had this conversation 100 times on this show, the guy was 54, Aisha was 9. Now, come on, you can say, oh, he was an idiot. You can say he's a butt wiper. You can call him all these names.
Yeah.
But if you say he's a pedophile, well, now hold on a second. Yeah, I'm, really, 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 some things
Well,
that we can demonstrate.
and the other thing is that these big, brave Muslims have to protect Islam from the big, bad 5 foot Hatun.
Well, Hytune's a
You
monster,
know,
though. I mean,
it
he's a
just blows
beast.
me away. Those big, brave, bad Muslims got to protect themselves from that little woman. I mean, that little woman lives in all their heads, and it just blows. I just laugh every time
Rent
I see
free.
her. Oh man, it's
Right.
awesome. Thank you, Hatun.
Yes.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, I'm gonna
She's truly like a
email her.
Joan of Arc of our day.
I'm gonna email her back. And thank her for replying to that. And I see, look who we have here. We have Steve in the house or in the car. Now,
And
Steve,
I didn't even have to send
I
anything
watched
to
Steve yesterday with
him.
Father, was
Father
it Father?
Zechariah.
Okay. What an
Yeah.
interview. That was absolutely fabulous. Somebody sticking it in the eye of the Egyptian. Like Larry Cohen Murley or Larry. Who is it? Larry Moe and Curly. There we go. I couldn't even get it right. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, it's that was classic, Steve. That was great. That was a great live stream. We
You
appreciate
know,
you.
he has done this before many, many times. He's the original one. He's the original apologist who came out in the one of the first ones, on he was the first one on satellite television to talk about Islam. He was the first one on the internet with Pal Talk to start really, breaking this thing down. He's got a $60 million price on his head from
Is that all?
Al-Qaeda.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. He's amazing, man. And he's 87 years old. His birthday was a few days ago.
He didn't look like a young man, but I didn't want to say anything about that. But you could still see just the way that he was speaking. I know you had to translate for him, but you could hear in his voice he still has that
Sharp
vibrant.
boldness.
Oh yeah, just that zeal for the
Yeah. Big time.
Yeah. The hashtag has reached over 500,000 now. The hashtag punish Father Zechariah Butros has reached over 500,000 now. And they have a special, I don't know if you saw on Hatun Touch. They have a special office with a paid staff to defend Muhammad. And one of the accomplishments was that they got this hashtag out there to go viral, punish Zechariah Butros.
Well,
He
there
said,
was a part. Go ahead. Go ahead.
He said, no, you guys, I don't, I am so honored that you guys have done this, but I really do not deserve this.
Right. That's yeah. We appreciate the fatwa, but yeah. Okay. What is this? Moral card. What is this? Who is this? Airway. Can defend your theology instead of pulling a fake moral card divert from your ideology? Well, I don't know. Maybe you can come on and prove me wrong, Mr. or Miss Airway. I don't know. Let me know if you want to come on. Okay, what were we talking about? How would you get? Oh my goodness, we're 25 minutes in the program. We haven't even gotten to the topic. You guys need to quit distracting me. I mean, I'm trying to follow what goes on in the chat because you guys just have a ball there. And sometimes we were in Chris's chat was that last night or was that Sunday night?
Not sure.
I think it was
probably both.
Okay, well, okay, you had a live stream last night. Okay, and they had your favorite troll, Jason Bourne.
Oh, yes.
In there, Jason. So every time Jason would post something, cause I know he's a troll, I would delete it. I wouldn't say anything, you know. And Chloe was there, and she would time him out. And I'm like, don't time this guy out. Let him just sit there and suck every time he tried to post something, knowing that it was going to get deleted. And that's what people like, you know, this is what these people got to do. They got to try to come into your chat. I don't know. Do we go to any other Islamic channels and do that same type of crap?
I know. No. I don't waste my time in their chat. I'll go, nope. If I go to an Islamic live stream, I'm going to see if I can get on the live stream to be able to talk to them. I'm not going to sit in their chat like a little coward and throw out these little stupid remarks here and there like the trolls do. But again, I do personally always thank my trolls. It's really lovely to have trolls like that actually subscribe to my channel and actually give my channel viewership just so that they control me. So I thank them every time.
Okay. Well, they deserve that. Okay. I will come on if we can discuss the fundamental creeds. No childish fake moral card, but the oneness of God. What do you guys think? Do you want to see what Airway has to say?
As long as you're ready to have the philosophical debate, as if you would have Jake the fake Muslim metaphysician up here. So I can see the debate going in the realm of aseity, the different creeds, things to this nature. So if you want to have that discussion, go ahead.
Okay, there he goes. Okay, Airway, there we go. There's your link. You want to come on. Don't be you're going to have to show your face. He's going to have to show his face because I don't want him showing any porn on. We've had that happen. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that was disgusting. Somebody
come
on here.
That was a Muslim that did that.
I must not have been here. What's that now? What happened?
It was about a year and a half ago. We were on Zoom. We were still doing Zoom. And somebody, one of the people, I can't remember the name, and I don't want to put it out there, but I think I had my suspicions. I sent it to the FBI is what I did. It was child porn is what it was. It was absolutely the most disgusting thing you would ever want. And there's just some things in life that you cannot unsee. And that was one of them. Mm-hmm. And I was just completely disgusted by it. And I wasn't thinking about this, but I told Rad, I said, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send this to you, and I want you to go ahead and delete that out on a. And he's like, Eric, don't you dare send anything like that to me because you can go to jail for stuff like that. So I'm like, oh, okay, because I was going to have him. I don't know how to do video editing, and I was going to have him edit that out so we could, because it was a great show, but that scumbag came on there trying to, and he did disrupt it. He was able to get me to take it down, because if I would have left it up, I probably would have gone to jail for it.
Oh, that's, I didn't know that. I can edit videos. I didn't know that. I would have done it for you.
But see, if I would have sent it to you, that's a crime, though. That's the problem.
That's you wouldn't have to send it to me. I could just get the link and download it.
Oh. Oh, well, it's been a year and a half, so it doesn't matter, I guess. But that's what these guys, do. So,
yeah, Eric, I just want to say something about Ed. He's 100% right. I had a debate from Shabir Ali from like 5 years ago. So it was some pretty bad sound. Or was it you? No, maybe it was. Was it you or was it the other one there? Maybe it wasn't Ed that helped me on that. No, it was somebody else. But yeah, Ed's pretty good. You're the one that helps most of the Christian YouTubers on YouTube right now.
Yeah, I did a lot of stuff for Sam, you know, a while back. I haven't had a chance to really do anything because I've been so busy at work. But yeah, I still have all the editing tools.
What is this? A boss. Why is it? I'm still waiting for your answer to my only question I asked you. Oh, David and Bathsheba. Oh, I remember that question. Sure. Okay. I would ask you to go to Leviticus chapter 17 and tell us all what the requirement is to prove adultery. And then I would ask you to provide a definition of what a concubine is. There's your answer. Do you guys remember that question?
Yes.
You remember the question? You say, well, why wasn't David stoned to death? And why wasn't any of his wives disgraced? Okay, there you go.
Why are Muslims still trying to justify their actions through our Bible with that type of stuff? I don't get it, Abbas. Why are you guys doing that?
I don't know.
Well, and it doesn't really make much sense either for him to complain about something like that when Muhammad actually had Mary the Coptic, which was his slave, that he had relations with, we'll say.
Relations with, yeah.
Well, here's the major difference that I tried to bring up to him, and he, you know, he was right, because he when he was on the show, he didn't, you know, try to go to the Bible to try to justify anything Islamic, and that was the example that I brought up. I said, you know, okay, you want to sit here and say, okay, David committed adultery, and you know, we would agree that was adultery, of course, but. David, what did David do when he was found out? I mean, he repented.
He repented sackcloth and ashes.
Okay, now when we think of think about what happens with Mary the Copt. You know, Muhammad gets caught in bed, in Hafsa's bed, one of his wives' bed. Not, you know, he just couldn't go out and find some hotel or find some tent that wasn't occupied, or tell one of, you know, Abu Bakr, get out. I have this woman here. You know, he couldn't do it. No. He's got to go into one of his wives' tents. And then rape this woman because she was a slave. And then when he gets caught, what does he do? He does the right thing. He says, hey, yo, I'm sorry. I will never do this again. And, you know, he's pleading for forgiveness, which, you know, if you're a man and you do something like that, of course, that's what you need to do. But what happens afterwards? Look what happens afterwards. He doesn't go to God and repent for what he's done because he's been found out. No, God goes to him and says, hey, yo, I gave you that woman. Look at there.
Right.
She's lawful. Your right hand possesses her. What are you telling your wives you're sorry for? Why are you saying that you're never going to do this again? I gave you that sex slave.
You see, this
what
is
kind
the thing.
Of God would do that?
This is the thing. Our God isn't commanding us to do that. Theirs is.
Yeah.
You see, and that's the whole point that they don't ever get. And, you know, their God commands them to do that. Ours does not.
Back in the day, there was a song by Shaggy. It was called It Wasn't Me.
By who?
By Shaggy.
Like Scooby-Doo Shaggy?
Well, kind of the same spelling, but it was, and the name of the song was called It Wasn't Me. So there's something would happen, and he would say, it wasn't me. And something had happened, and he'd say, it wasn't me type thing, right? I think that originated in the Quran with Muhammad. Because just as our brother in Christ, Christian Family Man, said, Allah made me do it. So Muhammad always had the excuse, it wasn't me. Allah made me do it.
Right. That's exactly what it sounds like.
Hey, you know what?
And Allah now said I can do it. And afterwards, Allah said I can do it. And it's
you
lawful.
Know, but you guys forgot one important part of the story, because Muhammad, you know, was such a kind man. He really was concerned about his wives.
Okay,
you know,
guys,
and I think that,
well, you know, you're getting set up. Okay, go ahead, Steve.
No, I dude, why are you thinking of me like that? You think I'm, geez, man? Because you know what, Muhammad did right before he did that with Maria the Copt in Hafsa's bed. Before he did that, he asked his wife Hafsa. He said to her, honey, don't you miss your dad? Don't you want to go see your dad? You know, it's been so long. You should go see your dad. So, you know, he was trying to help, you know, strengthen that relationship between Hafsa and her father. So anyway, we got to give him credit when he does do something right. You know,
sounds like he was trying to get rid of her.
Hey, Eric.
Yeah.
I can play.
He made a comment a minute ago about the issue of David committing adultery.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, Muslims often use that against Christianity in the Bible.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to show you something. May I share my screen?
Let me remove. Yep, go ahead.
All right. There's some interesting quotes from early Muslim scholars like Al-Tabari, where they actually do believe that David committed adultery.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, I'll show you in a second. I clicked the video file.
Well, his you're missing my point, was twofold. First, why wasn't David punished according to law? David wasn't punished according to law because he wasn't accused according to the law. That's why I said read yeah. Leviticus chapter 17. How many witnesses do you have to prove adultery? Go there first. And secondly, why his wives had to go sleep with the neighbor? Because this was part of God's condemnation on him and his family. When you think of what happened to David, for my God, he had his, and this is the point I was trying to make that day that she came to the show, was the fact that David had his children were killed. His children rebelled against him. His son was sleeping with his concubines in public, or fornicating with them in public. So I'm not exactly sure what your point is here. Go ahead. So there we go.
Yeah. So on my screen, I have a quote from the History of Al-Tabari, Volume 3. This is about David. Okay. It says, he saw a woman bathing herself on a roof, one of the most beautiful women in form. That's talking about Bathsheba. And then I kind of put the emphasized parts here. David married Uriah's wife. But it gets worse. And it's an early tradition. It's in Mukatsal bin Suleiman, his tafsir. There's a book actually called David in the Muslim Tradition where they discuss these issues, and he has this as well. So even their own scholars say that David committed adultery with Bathsheba. So I always would use those quotes whenever they make that accusation against the Bible, that their own scholars say so, and so they have to turn on them if they want to use that, if they want to be consistent.
And yet they can marry four wives and commit adultery all day long.
And possess sex slaves with their right.
Yeah, like Surah 424.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talk about hypocrisy sevenfold in Islam.
Yeah. It seems now. Okay, I got Mr. I'm not meaning to mispronounce it. Mm-hmm. And backstage.
Yahya from Speaker's Corner.
He looks like the same guy. He's a good looking guy. I don't know. Good looking guy.
The one that said that Hopkins deserved to get hit. You're bringing him on? You just said you won.
That's the thing I'm debating, guys. You guys tell me if you tell me no.
No, you said no.
Okay, that's fair.
Bring a man that says that she deserved to be hit. Okay. Jeez, no way. We're going to debate with him.
Mm-mm. All right, Connie. That's okay.
That goes against my heart as a woman. Sorry. All right,
Connie wins. There you go.
Thank you.
You were stuffed by a woman, buddy. Bye.
Okay. I was going to ask if I could debate him on the deity of Christ, but he's not coming.
No, this is what really just it bothers me. When you try to justify violence against another human being for the religious beliefs, I'm not down with that struggle. I'm not going to give you a platform to speak. And secondly, I mean, come on, this is men beating women. This isn't Saudi Arabia where this is legal. Okay. This isn't a Sharia compliant country. This isn't a Sharia compliant culture where you can actually do that. So we're not any type of justification whatsoever of that, or anybody that would make fun of something like that.
Just amazing how fragile Muhammad is. You know what I mean? He's so fragile. All his Muslims got to come protect him.
Fragility.
A dead man.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, he can't defend himself. That's for sure. So he has to have his people come defend him and kill others just for to make him look good.
You know, Paul. If you remember when Hatun got stabbed, stabbed, and she passes out. I mean, if somebody stabs me in the face, I think I'm gonna. I'm going to pass out too. I have blood. Oh, no. What does she do as soon as she gets up? She starts getting in their butt. She's like, look, you need to defend Muhammad. I don't need to defend Jesus Christ. Look at you guys. Look how pathetic you are. Well, there you go.
She's probably more manly than Muhammad. Anyway.
Oh, he did wear dresses, so come on.
Yeah.
No. Hold on. No. Yeah.
Hey, well, Watts
clarified that it was not a dress. It was, it was something else.
According to Christian Prince, it was Aisha's panties.
Okay, well. All right. See, this is what happens.
I don't know. I can't
see
we start getting old man fitting in that.
Yeah, are any Muslims going to join the stream and humiliate us?
I don't know. Let's see. What is
that? I had a debate for tonight on Chris Claus's channel, but my opponent canceled it. So
yeah, I remember that. You guys were trying to set that up last night. Weren't you supposed to do that on a Discord or something?
On StreamYard, and then what kind of got changed around. He kept changing the time because he's in a different time zone. I mean, that's fine, but like,
who was this guy?
Marshall Ayoub. He was right. Happened was he was on Chris Claus's live chat last night, and I got on his Chris's stream and called him out because I know Marshall on Discord and I've interacted with him in voice chat before. I've debated him informally, and so I got on there and I invited him to come on the stream and to see if he would, and he didn't because he said he was at work.
Who's beating their kids?
No, that was a happy sound.
Okay, well, if you're not beating them, you need to be.
I've had a toddler.
I'm kidding. It's a joke. Okay, I got this. Yaya, or what is this? Not Yaya, Abbas.
Is he coming?
Abbas, no, he's got this. He has this question. This question was, he's still stuck on this David thing. And I asked him to go to Leviticus chapter 17. And
pull him out cover. I'll give you.
Well, he's not okay. That would ask him to actually try to be consistent, but we're not going to ask him to be consistent. He asked me to using my Bible. Okay. Any person who eats or dies, okay, water, everything shall be clean. He'd wash and bathe. Let's see here. I thought it was 6:17. The thing that the Lord's coming to anyone kills an ox, goat, blood cut off at the end of people sacrifices. Okay, you have to have two witnesses. That was the point I was trying to make. And if you have two witnesses, then you can prove adultery, and then you can carry out the death penalty of stoning somebody to death. But in the case of David, who were the witnesses? Abbas, who were the witnesses? I'll wait for you.
There were none.
Well, hold on. Quit making sense.
Stop speaking the truth, Aunt Connie.
Yeah, yeah. Let's quit asking for people to. You want to know why he. Why wasn't the law followed? Why wasn't he stoned to death? Well, what does the law call for? And it calls for two witnesses.
It could be worse. It could be like in Islam where you need four witnesses and you need to actually watch the penetration.
Yeah, how does that work? Four witnesses in Islam. Yeah.
Hey, Ed, how's it going?
Very good. Good to see you, bro.
Okay. There was a topic we were discussing tonight. Oh my God. I want to get to this because this is
that dodo book.
When we start talking about, providing, because this is what you get, they want to distract. They want to, focus. Okay, well, your Bible sucks worse than my Quran does. Okay, well, that's your opinion because you don't fully understand it. It's obvious by what you're posting here. But when you look at evidences that are offered up by Muslims for the Bible or for the Quran, one of the most often cited ones, of course, is the Gospel of Barnabas. You got to be careful with this too, because there is an Epistle of Barnabas that's out there. And what happens is when you get in a discussion with Muslim apologists on this, they like to conflate. They like to start talking about what the Epistle of Barnabas or the veracity of the Epistle of Barnabas, because there is evidence for that. There's third century evidence for the Epistle of Barnabas, fourth century. I can't remember off the top of my head, but you do have evidence for the Epistle of Barnabas, but we don't have any early attestation, early evidence for the Gospel of Barnabas. And it is the Gospel of Barnabas is the one that they want to use. The problem with the Gospel of Barnabas is it is a proven forgery, and there's all kinds of problems with it. You talk about the year of Jubilee is mentioned in there. They have Nazareth. Nazareth. Does anybody have a map? I have this map here up on my wall. It's one of these. I'm going to take it down. Hold on just a second. Let me get down here so I can show you. Okay, class. Here is the Sea of Galilee. Whoops, right here. This is the Sea of Galilee. Over here is Nazareth, right here. You notice. Now, if you notice in between the Sea of Galilee and Nazareth, there's something we call mountains. Now, the Gospel of Barnabas says that they sailed from the Sea of Galilee to Nazareth. Now, I would like to know which scientific laws, which laws of nature are violated in that analogy. Does water flow uphill? No. So when we talk about the Gospel of Barnabas, it has all kinds of errors, to include that the city of Nazareth sits right on the Sea of Galilee, and you can sail to it any day that you want to. Idiots. And the third thing, the manuscript evidence that we have for it is not, if you look at the picture that I offered up for this show, the show notes, it has this old manuscript and it looks ancient. And they said, oh, this is the Gospel of Barnabas, the proof that the Bible is wrong. Well, when you go back and you look at that manuscript evidence, number one, the carbon dating of it does not come out. They did a carbon dating test. I can't remember what they dated it to, but it's consistent with it being a medieval forgery. I can't give you the exact
1585.
Okay, there you go, 1585. So you have carbon dating that confirms a medieval date, because when we use carbon 14 dating, it's to confirm dates, not established dates. So if they would have came up and said it's dated to let's say the 5th century, then that carbon date would have been thrown out because it's not confirming all the other evidence that demonstrates that it comes from a different time. They used casks in the Gospel of Barnabas. The problem is that casks weren't used in Galilee until the 8th century. So they're only off by almost a millennia. That's, this is close stuff. I mean, this is like saying a Samaritan helped Aaron, the sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus, at Mount Sinai when they went to build the golden calf. I don't mean to be, so if that sounds spiteful or hateful, I'm sorry. I don't mean to sound that way. But this article that I have here is very extensive. If you want a copy of it, just let me know and I'll be more than happy to send it to you. Those are just a couple of examples of why we know it is indeed a forgery. And I will tell you this, the first time that I had a run-in with that doxing imam out of Houston, and we were discussing the crucifixion of Jesus. That was the topic of the show. And when he got on the show, he says, well, we know that Jesus never died on a cross because the Gospel of Barnabas clearly says so. Now, when you start engaging with somebody and you offer up the Gospel of Barnabas as your evidence that Jesus never died on a cross, you know you're either A, ignorant, and I wouldn't say he's ignorant. He's, maybe he is ignorant, but B, or be completely dishonest. And he has shown himself to be completely dishonest in a lot of ways. And this was the first time he was on my show. What does he do? His first evidence that he presents against the crucifixion, because that was the topic of the show, was the Gospel of Barnabas. So we know that he was wrong on that. Does anybody have anything they want to add to that?
Hey, I wanted to ask, which copy was carbon dated? Was it the... Because there's two versions. There's, from my research, there's the 14th century Italian version, and then I think a couple centuries later in the 16th century, you have the French version. You know which one was carbon dated?
I believe it was the Italian version because, it was mentioned in that version, the denarius, which was a gold coin that was not used until the Caliph Abdul Malik in 685 AD, which is another telltale hello, you're busted. There's no way it could have ever been used in Jesus' time, because you're already 7 centuries misplaced just from the gold coin that they're using. So yeah, it was the Italian.
Okay. Oh, okay. I'm trying to find it right now, and I you know, when you're doing a show right in the middle of a show, it's kind of hard to.
I posted the link in the private chat. If you
did,
want.
You? Yeah. Let me go ahead and bring that up then. Bible CA. Yeah. Okay. Well, there's a lot there. That's okay.
Yeah. 32 reasons why the gospel of Barnabas is a forgery.
Okay, I'm gonna post this in the chat for everybody. Is that
and
okay?
There's a Muslim man, I forget his name, that he says the same thing. He's looked at it. I don't have his name. It's not on my phone, it's in my laptop, and he has a big low write up as well saying that this is such a forgery and they knew it even way back when. So yeah, even Muslims are saying that. True, you know, Muslim historians. Honest
why would
men,
they? Why would would anybody want to then continue to use that as proof? If you go over to ask a Muslim,
desperation.
Okay, then
grabbing straws.
Well,
that's exactly what it is. It is desperation. Thank you.
The answer most likely is the fact that A, it confirms the substitution. You know, where the Quran says Allah substitute. Well, in Gospel of Barnabas, it talks about that it was Judas that was crucified. But here's the funny thing. Why would you use a book that says that Jesus is not the Messiah and that the Messiah is going to come after Jesus, meaning Muhammad?
Okay, that's exactly right, John, because it does say that Muhammad was the Messiah. And there's no Muslim today that would say that Muhammad was the Messiah. So you're exact. That was the point that I forgot to bring up. You're absolutely right. So how can that be true?
Well, I was waiting for someone to say that.
Why didn't you say it? You can say it anytime.
But I thought I thought you then was going to pour it out real quick. So I was waiting on you guys.
No, okay.
That's obvious. I mean, it's like, that's the first thing I think of every time they want to pull that. It's like, wow, okay, so then you're denying your own Muhammad.
You know, let me be perfectly honest with you. I was talking to a family member the other day, and the family member mentioned, you really need to let other people on the panel talk a little bit more, Eric. And you always want to take constructive criticism. And I'm like, okay, so I'm trying to keep that in mind. And then what do I do? Is right out of the gate, I get on this hell bent rant on Muhammad. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, so when we look at that as evidence for Islam, we can clearly see tonight is different. I wanted to talk about question. We can clearly see that it's not. It cannot be any evidence whatsoever. It's a fabrication. It's a 14th century medieval forgery, probably written by a monk who converted to Islam, trying to provide some sense of credibility for Muhammad. And this would probably be akin. Well, maybe not. I mean, would you guys think that it would be akin to some of the Gnostic writings that we find?
Oh, definitely, definitely. With the twist of Islam in it. Oh, yes, big time. And changes things. I mean, it's just like they wrote that just to set confusion in both of the I wouldn't call Islam a belief, but the ideology of Islam, and to try to thwart the faith of Christianity, following Christ. Just to throw a wrench in there, you know, let's throw a wrench in there, you know, try to mess it up, things up,
yeah.
Stir up the net.
The Gospel of Barnabas has well been known to be a Gnostic. It's been part of Gnosticism for centuries. And so it's not unknown. It's a little late coming. So it's late comer Gnosticism, but okay. All in the names of secret ways to get to heaven.
Right.
Or
yeah.
A level of heaven. I think this one mentions the different levels of heaven, if I remember right.
Yeah, you're right, because Dante's Inferno is in there, because it starts talking about the different, because if you guys ever read the Divine Comedy by Dante Alighieri, in the Inferno, he has 10 separate levels of hell. And it mentions those levels. Let me bring it up. Did I close that window already? I think I already closed the window. But it mentions the seven different, the different levels of heaven. That would be the Paradiso. Sorry.
This is I even have a citation for it, but I don't know that I don't have the exact reference. But it's they mention the nine heavens in chapter 3:105. You know, the fact that they would mention the nine heavens is a direct reference to Gnosticism. That clearly tells you that it is that.
Okay, it's right here. It says right here, verily I say unto thee that the heavens are nine, among which are set planets that are distant from one another, 500 years journey for man. And verily I say unto thee that paradise is greater than all the earth and the heavens together. So that's a direct quote from the Gospel of Barnabas. Now, if you look at the Dante's Inferno, was written in the year 1399 or 1299. It was during Pope Boniface VIII's reign, because what he does is he takes Pope Boniface and he puts him in, I think it's the eighth level of hell, and he has the Pope upside down in a baptismal font, drowning in that, and people are going by and burning his feet. Now, if you guys ever want to read something good. I mean, if you want to read a good book, I mean, it's long, it's hard, it's a tough read, but I mean, it is, if you sit there and read it and you look at how brilliant this guy was as far as punishing people and creating punishments in hell for them.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
It even says there that the composition of the Gospel of Barnabas was right around Dante's time, and he lived from 1265 to 1321.
Okay, so there you go. So is the year 1300. It seems like that's the year that sticks in my mind that it was published. I might be wrong on that. When I lived in Italy, I think it was right before we moved to Italy the second time. I was in the army, and when we were there, I got to go. We went to Florence. This is where Dante lived. We went to Dante's house. I got to see the house that Dante Alighieri. He was either raised there or he was born there, one of the two. I was like one of those, what do you call those people who follow a rock band around? Not a roadie. What do you call those
groupie.
People? Groupie. There we go. I was kind of the Dante groupie at the time, because I just got done reading that. I'm like, man, this is a cool book. Because you have to read all three. You have to read the Inferno, the Purgatoria, and the Paradiso. They're all three of them, because it talks about hell, the Inferno, Purgatoria, and heaven is paradise. And also, in the Vatican, if you go in the Vatican, in the Sistine Chapel, on the wall, there's a painting of the different levels of hell as described in Dante's Inferno. Cool stuff. Okay, let's see. Alan Martin, it was written in Tuscan dialect of Italian, so it was a bit difficult. Okay, yeah, Tuscany. All right, so let's go back over to something else that I wanted to do today. I wanted to do a compare and contrast Paul with Muhammad. Did you guys want to do that, or is that just too much of a heavy lift? Anybody want to give that one a try? Because this is, when we look at one of the arguments for Christianity, they say, well, your book has been corrupted. Look at Paul corrupted Christianity. Paul hijacked the religion. Because you can't blame the apostles themselves, because in the Quran it says the apostles will be utmost. But you can attack Paul.
Well, but they can attack Paul all they want to, because, you know, Paul spent a lot of time quoting, the Hebrew Torah and a lot of the apostles. I mean,
I'm gonna give a side by side comparison between Paul and Muhammad, and complete 411 here. This is not my material. If you remember, a couple years ago, David Wood did a series on this where he compared Paul to Muhammad, and he took different character traits, different things about each of them, and then did a comparison. You know, Paul was this, and like, let's see. The first one is Paul was a scholar. Muhammad was illiterate. Paul could speak, read, and write multiple languages. Muhammad spoke an archaic developing language and didn't know the difference between scripture and a phone book. So when we look, at the difference between the two, you compare and contrast. But so they have to go after Paul. Paul has to be the villain here. Olga, I see you're here, my brother. Hey, I got your message on Facebook. Thank you for that. I want to contact you on that. Okay, so when you look at what Muslims have to say about Paul, we go to the reliance of the traveler. Would you think that they would mention Paul and the reliance of the traveler if Paul did, in fact, corrupt Christianity? Let me think. No, they wouldn't. But, however, on page 653.
That's Surah. That's... You have the Sirah there.
Sirah, yep. The life of Muhammad. Sir Rasulallah, the biography of Muhammad. It says, those, that's the contraction between those and whom, those whom Jesus, son of Mary, sent, both disciples and those who came after him in the land, were Peter, the disciple, and Paul with him. Hold on a second. Peter, the disciple, and who with... Paul with him. Why would Paul belong to the followers, but was not a disciple? Made sure, and that's in parentheses, that was added in later to that. And they sent with him to Rome, Andrew and Matthew, to the land of the... Okay, so you have the listing of the disciples. Thomas, Philip, James, Bartholomew, Berbers, or no, Simon. I don't know the disciple. Do you guys ever hear Berber? No. You're saying they sent Simon to the land of the...
Are you showing us this for us to see?
This is in the book. I can't show you. It's in the book.
Okay. I'm sorry.
This book is online. And if you go to page 653, it's right there. So Paul, you cannot say with any amount of credibility or honesty, intellectual integrity, that Paul corrupted Christianity. Why? Because Paul is even mentioned in one of their most trusted sources, which is the biography of Muhammad, as being a follower of Christ. He was with Peter. Yes, go ahead.
He's also mentioned by Ibn Kathir in the Tafsirs. He's mentioned by Al-Jalalain. Mm-hmm. If you go to the Quran, the commentaries for Surah 36:13, Ibn Kathir included
14.
Him in there.
Kathir and Al-Jalalain?
Yeah, and Quran
X.com.
36:14, yeah. No, QuranX.com, it's 36:13. And you'll find Bulus was the name, which means Paul in Arabic. Okay. But you'll find it in the Ibn Kathir, you know, what he was one of the apostles, you know, mentioned as one of the apostles right there in Ibn Kathir. They're big guy.
But he was a reinforcer. Allah sent him to reinforce John and Paul and Peter, you know, so they have no leg to stand on when they want to attack Paul.
These guys in the chat are really ticking me off. They're sitting here quoting from Dante. Stop it. You guys are making me. This is my favorite. Abandon all hope. They cross the river. What's the name of that river that they cross into hell? The river.
Styx.
Styx. There you go. The river Styx. They cross the river Styx into hell. And the sign says, abandon all hope, all ye who enter here. What a book. Okay, guys, let me put this out before, because I got a church meeting at 6:30 tonight. I have to be at, or they're going to kick me out of the church.
You can always join Islam.
I'd be suicidal if I did that. I've had conversations about that before with people. I would anyway. Paul Sutliff. go to what Paul put out your YouTube channel so people know where to go to get there.
I think XYZ put it out earlier. Let me see if I can pull it up.
Well, wait, hold on a second. Eric, if you're suicidal and join Islam, you'll fit right in, dude.
No, I'd be following the Sunnah. You're exactly right. I would be following this, the example of the Prophet. Mm-hmm. I want to fly off this hill.
Exactly.
I've been sitting up in here in this cave for a year waiting for an angel to show up, and when one shows up, it scares the heck out of me, so I want to go commit suicide now. Yeah, that makes all the sense in the world.
Eating mushrooms, yeah, rolling nice. Out of cow patties.
I could do what?
Yep.
He was eating mushrooms growing out of cow patties. Or probably camel patties.
Camel patties. I was just going to say camel patties. It's a little maybe too much
camel urine. Camel. No, it was the camel cola, man. It's a known side of
there we go. I was just going to ask you, what was the name of our sponsor again? Camel Cola. What's the name of the sponsor? Well, I didn't get this week's shit. That's why I'm drinking out of this Ravens bunch of losers cup. Paul, did you get that site into the chat?
Yeah, it's in the chat now.
All right, Connie, go ahead and put yours out there. How do people find you on YouTube?
Okay, I'll put it out there. Thanks, sir.
And Allah won't touch this. What do you call that? The something roast productions? Roasted pig productions.
Actually, it's the haram pork pig production or pork production.
Okay, haram pork production. All right, so go find.
No, they won't find it.
Carphobia. Okay, well, if you want to, you can post those YouTube. Yeah,
XYZ, I think, did it. Okay. It's got my old link, which I can't change. It's the Huffs and Warsh, not the same. I can't remember the name.
Huffs, not Wash. Warsh. Yeah. Huffs, not Warsh. Yeah, because I remember that when you first started coming on, that was your scream name. I'm like, who in the heck is this guy? let's see. And Paul, you got yours out there. Okay, so before we get going, I wanted to make sure everybody had a chance. Rad. If you guys want to see some funny stuff, Rad, where do you still have your
yes.
video? Do you still have these videos up on your YouTube channel?
No, it's mostly hidden. I'll put them back up sometime. I want to do better. Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me? Yeah, we can hear you. Whenever you want to do that, you let us
know. All right, Marcus can't hear me. Okay.
Shameless advertising here.
Okay. No problem. Okay.
All right. So let's go to Paul. Cool. Paul, the scholar, and Muhammad, the scammer. I'm sorry, the prophet. Okay. So when we look at Paul, he knew the eyewitnesses to Jesus. He actually knew the Old Testament backwards and forward. Why? Because he studied under Gamaliel. And he knew the difference between Jewish Talmud, Midrash, and Scripture. Now, when you compare that to Muhammad, well, what did Muhammad know? Nothing. He didn't know what he didn't even know what the Gospels were. Let's be perfectly honest here. He would take your Gnostic, apocryphal, Talmudic, Syriac folklore and incorporate those into some type of divine revelation. And was even told people, you guys remember passages in the Quran that say that these are nothing more than the tales of ancients. Remember those? There's like four passages that say that. And I remember we had.
Are you still showing us that list? It clicked off.
Yeah. I was just kind of talking for a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, we can only get so much of that list at one time.
I was zooming in and looking at it. Then all of a sudden, I'm seeing all of our faces.
All right. Sorry. There you go. We had Asana on here, and Asana said, well, no, they were just talking about the stories that were from the Bible, not these other stories. And I'm thinking, that doesn't sound true. Okay. Early sources. When we look at Paul, let me make sure we understand this. Paul wrote 13 epistles in the New Testament. Of those 13 epistles, seven of those epistles are considered authentic. No scholars, you know, because there's always people second guessing, you know, well, we really don't know for sure that, you know, Peter wrote Second Peter. We don't know for sure that John wrote Second John or whatever. There's always some scholars trying to get published that come out and say things like that. But you will not have any scholars come out and second guess Paul writing these seven epistles in the New Testament. They don't doubt that he wrote Romans. They don't doubt that he wrote 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. They don't doubt that he wrote Ephesians. I'm trying to think of the other two. It's either 1 or 2 Timothy. I can't remember. And one of the books of Thessalonians. They don't doubt that. And then when we look at 1 Corinthians by Ibn Ishaq, a dubious author. I get that. Thank you, Abbas. We all know that Ibn Ishaq was actually didn't you say that Ibn Ishaq, Abbas, was a Jew or something like that? Or his dad was a Christian missionary? Or I'm not exactly sure. Sir. Anyway, when we look at the early writings of Paul, you can date, if you go back in there, you can date 1 Corinthians around 50-51 AD, which is, what, 15 years, 20 years from the cross. So this is very early attestation. And if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, I think it is, there you have a very popular Christian creed that has been dated back to within a year of the cross. That's not this kaffir saying it. That's not your most conservative kaffir saying that. That is people akin to Bart Ehrman is saying that that Christian creed can be dated back to within a year of the cross. So this is how early that is. Attestation goes. And this is, and let me just read that because it's like it's a beautiful verse. So we go to. Okay, now when you're looking for Corinthians, if you see 2 Corinthians, you go to the one right before it.
Like 1 Corinthians?
15. Yeah, yeah. Okay, you go to chapter. If you're looking for chapter 15, you look for 14 and look for the one right after it. Okay, it says, "For I delivered unto you." Let me put this up on the screen here. "For I delivered unto you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas," Peter, "then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive." Here, you want to get their addresses, let me know, I'll give them to you, "though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all of the apostles, and last of all, untimely to me." Now, here's the one thing that I want to show you. This is written within a year of the cross, right here. Christ died for our sins. That is a death nail into Islam.
Oh, that's within definitely.
That's within a year of the crucifixion itself that Muhammad denies.
Now you know why they go after Paul.
Exactly. You're exactly right. That's the point that I'm trying to make right there. Mm-hmm. Ed. They go after Paul because Paul is early. Paul is consistent and explicit about things that directly contradict what is written in the Quran. I want to show you guys something else. I don't know if you know this exists. Well, you guys probably do, but people who are listening, you know, you might not know that this exists, but I want to jump. Oh, but Galatians. Did I mention Galatians was authentic? If I didn't, that's one of the ones that nobody second guesses. I want to go over here. Look at here.
How about Ephesians? What do they say about Ephesians?
I'm going to Galatians. We can go to Ephesians in a little bit. Let me go to Galatians first, okay? Example, Hagar. Oh, who is Hagar? Well, Hagar just happened to be the mama of a fellow by the name of Ishmael.
Ishmael.
Who do the Muslims chase their lineage through? Ishmael. Mm. Okay, so let's read this. Tell me, you who desire to... Oops, I'm sorry. Let me put it up on the screen. There we go. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do not listen to the law. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now, this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants, one from Mount Sinai, bearing children from slavery. She is Hagar. Now, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, Genesis. Okay, and then now, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise, but just at the time who was born according to the flesh persecuted him, was born according to the spirit. So you have Ishmael persecuting Isaac, who was born according to what? Born according to the spirit. And so it goes on to say, but what does scripture say? Cast out the slave woman, Ishmael, and her son, Ishmael, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So brothers, we are not children of the slave, but we are children of the free woman. So when you look at why do they hate Paul? Because they say that the descendants of Ishmael are slaves to sin, slaves to the flesh, and they're not part of the covenant of God.
Man, they hit that nail on the head.
This is why I love Paul. I mean, he just cuts to the chase. Now, Ephesians,
Tommy, nothing new under the sun.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Is there something in Ephesians that you wanted to say?
No, or... I was just asking. I mean, I don't adhere to what the scholars are saying. This is authentic. This is not, because it sounds like Islam to me. This hadith is authentic. This hadith isn't. But anyway, I was going with you. Okay, so I was just asking you, what do they say about Ephesians?
The reason why I brought up scholars is because I wanted to be, you know, as giving as I possibly could. There is scholarship out there that doubts that the attribution of authorship to certain books of the New Testament is correct or not. However, there is no doubt about those seven epistles of Paul's, and those are the ones that
Does Ephesians include it?
I'm going to have to look it up.
Oh, okay, because that's one of my favorite ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hebrews. Certain. Do they add the book of Hebrew? I bet you they don't. Hebrew, do they?
Well, they see, this is the thing. There's still not a consensus on who wrote Hebrews. You know, most people say, well, Paul wrote Hebrews.
Well, I know that. Yeah, I know that. Well, do they add it as authentic?
No, they don't. No, there's not. Some people say that Barnabas wrote it.
It doesn't matter. You can read it and know it is anointed. You know, it hits back to scripture, hits back to the gospel, hits back to the Old Testament. I mean, everything is in line with it. There's nothing you can't take out of it. You know, the spirit bears witness in our spirit that it is truth. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. You know, and then when you get into this consensus of men, forget that. Consensus. Con with senses, you know, what we think, what we feel. Yeah, we think this is fair.
Well, we could say that you got bold. You don't have a knee, so you got con with a knee, and then I'm kidding. That was a bad. Should have said something like that.
Don't pick on my name. My daddy named me.
Yeah, I know, and I'm not gonna go there. I will lose.
And my sister's name is Bonnie, so it's Bonnie and Connie. How's that for?
Okay, let's. We don't have but a couple minutes here, and I got to get going. I hope nobody that works with me heard that. I have to get going, not gots to get going. Okay, early sources was written within 30 years, the death of Christ, Pauline epistles, and Luke. Early attestation to Muhammad is written over a century after his life. And when we talk this isn't even correct. When we talk about the attestation to Muhammad, as far as the Sirah, oh, here it is. The Sirah is written over 200 years. Even Ishaq was, his biography was written over 100 years. That's what I'm putting there. Okay, it was written over 100 years after Muhammad died. And Ibn Hisham is the one who has edited what Ibn Ishaq supposedly wrote. And he's 200 years after Muhammad. And then on top of that, if you look at the Sirah, or not the Sirah, the Hadith isn't written until 200 years after Muhammad, actually 250 years after Muhammad died. And the earliest extant manuscript that we have of any of the Hadith is 400 years after the death of Muhammad. So when we look at the Sirah Muhammad, Paul is an apostle, along with Peter, is written 100 years. You know, it's crazy how much earlier you have Paul than you do Muhammad. Anybody want to comment on that? Okay.
I was just going to say, I wonder what the original Sirah actually said, if his sanitized version, so-called sanitized version, because I don't know, there's a lot of stuff in there that, you know, a woman being split in two. But if that's in there, I would just, here's the thing. I have become of the mind that there was no such person as a Muhammad. There's just nothing leading to a Muhammad. It seems like a redaction by the Abbasids as they got towards the end of the religion or theology. They noticed that the Jews had Moses and that the Christians had Jesus. So they needed a man in a book and a man, as Jay would say. So they created this Muhammad that used to be just praiseworthy, now became a man. But there's nothing really tying the man to that seventh century.
Or Medina.
Right. Okay. Well, Medina, you do have attestation to. We do have attestation to Medina, but not Mecca. We have nothing there prior to the seventh century indicating that Mecca existed. And when you think about it, Mecca is only mentioned one time in the Quran anyway, by name. And there, if you take Becca, when we've had John Isaac or Adam Seeker on here, where they've taken, if you take that letter, that first letter, and if you just put like a squiggly mark on the corner of it, it changes the B to an M or the equivalent of that, changing it from Becca, which would be Petra, to
Mecca. That's called
Becca.
Cheating.
That's a nice way of
putting it. It's called lying.
What I would say. It's lying is what it is.
They're changing their Quran, which they want to claim that it's never been changed, right?
Yeah. Allah.
So they're changing it, right?
Okay, guys, I hate to do this to you, but I got to go.
You'll have to make it up.
Thank you for teaching us. Well, we can do a second part. I definitely want to do this.
Yeah. Chris Claus, if you are listening, what's today? Today's Tuesday. I'm going to be gone next Tuesday. The Queen and I are taking the grandkids to Kafiristan West. And we're going to, anyway, I'll send pictures and show you what we're going to be doing.
Cool.
It should be fun. I'm going to need Chris, or if you're listening, I'm going to need you to host next Tuesday, if that's okay. Okay, guys, thank you for coming. And people in chat, you guys are all over it. I just love seeing the comments that you guys make in there, and I appreciate you coming. Those of you who are here in the panel tonight, Ed, I love it when you're here and you're chirping up. Sometimes you come, you're like DL and don't say anything. So we appreciate that.
That's because the female's always talking, man. Well, it's because the female's always yakking.
Yeah, but we always know to defer to the Connie. We've learned our lesson.
She needs to get back in her corner, man.
Paul, my brother, always great to have you here along with John. Thank you guys for coming. You're always welcome. And Issa, even though Issa was all masked up hiding in the corner, there's someplace in where I don't even know where he was, but I feel sorry for that guy having to play that COVID game. And everybody else that was here, thank you so much. And everybody in chat, again, thank you so much for coming. And we will see you Sunday at 2 p.m. on the Crossing the Crescent discussion group. God bless y'all. We'll see you then.
No, have a good one. Have a safe trip.
You too. God bless.